still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still.
Be.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Still and know, be still, be.
Susan has a rich background in both music and theology with numerous degrees and experience in both fields. Most recently, she is an Episcopal priest in Hemet, California. She's having served many parishes throughout the East Coast and finally coming home to Southern California. Welcome back. Like myself, Susan has found the presence of horses to be an embodied portal into Christianity. And she has also found herself at home in the wisdom tradition of embodied Christianity through the work of Cynthia Bourgeau. She is uniquely suited to speak to this chapter on the tools of wisdom today. In addition to our previous speakers, Matthew Wright and Heather Roos, Susan is one of the primary lineage bearers of Cynthia's wisdom teachings, leading retreats and wisdom practices since 2015. Sacred chanting is her unique practice, and I've been so grateful to sit in resonance with her beautiful offerings. And it was also my great privilege a few months ago to spend nearly a week in Cynthia's home with Susan as she led a small, kind of motley crew, a group of us, trying to sing around the piano the last poetic words of Thomas Keating, his divine embrace set to music. And I'd like to reflect on one of his offerings as we welcome Susan. This is called Stillness. Our true nature is stillness. The source from which we come, it manifests itself within us as a rising tide of silence, a flowing stream of peacefulness, a limitless ocean of calm, a flowing stream of peacefulness, or just sheer stillness. The deep listening of pure contemplation is the path to stillness. All words disappear into it. All creation awakens. In the light, in the delight of just being. And here we have my friend, Susan Latimer.
Thank you so much, Mary Ann and all. I'm thrilled to be here and honored to be here. I spent a couple
I might interrupt you for just a second, Susan. We have a special welcome that we would like to give you before you begin your talk. It's a very unique and special thing that we do in this group. So hold on.
Here we go, friends.
We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you.
That's wonderful. And I love how you've already opened up your moving center by using your voice this morning and chanting. I'll invite you, this is largely going to be a practice session, and then we'll have some time to reflect upon the practice in the small groups. And this is tools of wisdom, and two of the tools, presence and sacred chanting, are what we are going to focus on today. I was going to say, I spent a couple magical summers up in that area at the Music Academy of the West in Montecito, very long, long ago. So I have a fondness for the Santa Barbara area. So I invite you to have a paper and pen handy. So that I'm going to ask you after each practice to take a few notes about your experience, and particularly to notice your whole being, to notice your body and what you're noticing after having done these practices. And that's part of what you'll be invited to share in the small groups. You can, as always, just share what you feel comfortable sharing. So we're going to start. Let me turn on my speaker. We're going to start with an embodiment practice. And some of you may have done this, and it is probably new to many of you.
Battery high. Connected to Susan's iPhone.
There's my speaker coming online. So I'm going to lead you through what is called Gurdjieff Movement 39. And this is an embodiment practice, and I am offering it to you also as a practice of surrender. And I'll explain that a little bit later. Cynthia says in this chapter that awakening the heart is really the key of our wisdom tradition, the goal, and that surrender itself is awakening the heart. So I'm just going to read a little tidbit about this practice. This practice called Movement 39 is the last exercise created by G.I. Gurdjieff, a Greek Armenian mystic and master spiritual teacher of sacred dances and the fourth way path. As this practice is very simple in form, it is one of the most accessible of Gurdjieff's movements, and at the same time, it keeps the core of the fourth way teaching. This movement is meant to deepen our connection to our three centers. Or rather, to use Gurdjieff's words, the three human brains, intellectual, emotional, and moving or body center. This exercise allows us to explore and experience in depth these three intelligences. One definition of awakening is these three centers engaged and functioning in unity, whereas sleep would be considered as operating out of one center only. So, the way this is a surrender practice is that I'm inviting you to not stay in your head. For this, not try to think it out, not try to control it with your mind, but simply surrender yourself into it in whatever way you are able. There are four gestures, they're very simple. The first gesture is the right hand brought over the heart. So I'll invite you to try this with me. That's the first gesture. Second gesture is the left hand, so your hands are crossed in front of your chest. The third gesture is your head is down with your arms crossed there. And the fourth gesture is you raise your head and your arms are down on your thighs as in a seated meditation posture. So there are four movements, and you can follow me and just do the movements. But there are also three inner practices during this. And that's why I'm saying don't let your mind take over and try to don't get caught up in your mind. Surrender yourself to the practice. If all you do is the movements, that's fine. Sense into these gestures, which can be very powerful. There's music that we'll be working with. And the three attentions are the mind, which is the intellectual center, the feeling, which is the emotional center, and the body, which is the moving center. And if you want to turn your cameras off for this, that's fine, but I also find it helpful to watch everyone doing this together. So I will be saying the words which are moving us through these three centers, and invite you to do the gestures and simply surrender into this practice. And this music is Gurdjieff music, which is meant to be with this practice. So here we go, movement 39, I invite you to surrender. And then we'll have a little bit of silence afterwards, and I'll ring a bell at the end. Presence of mind. Presence of body.
I sense that I
presence of feeling. Presence of body. I invite you to simply jot down a few things that you notice. Just take a minute and jot down some notes about what you notice about your being. And if you feel that you want to share those later, there'll be time in the small groups. So the rest of the time, we're really going to focus on chanting, on sacred chanting as a spiritual practice. And Cynthia says in this chapter, chanting wakes up the emotional center and sets it vibrating to the frequency of love and adoration while feeding the body with that mysterious higher being food of divine life. And that chanting is really a part of all sacred traditions. It's very powerful. It's a spiritual practice. So the earliest spiritual practice, Cynthia tells us, in the desert was chanting. They chanted the Abbas and Ammas in the early 2nd, 3rd century, chanted 150 psalms a day. Cynthia calls singing sound yoga. It offers us heart transformation, energetic transmission, collection and deepening of attention. And singing, for me, is one of the best practices to really open up and awaken all three centers and get the intellectual center out of the driver's seat and more integrated, to open up the heart and also the moving center. Because when we chant, the tone and the breath is involving our moving center, and the melody and the words are speak to our emotional center. And then our intellectual center can be involved, but not necessarily in charge, as it usually is. Now, particularly if you don't consider yourself a singer, I invite you to really lean into this. Most of you are alone or with one other person. Really do chant along when we are chanting. Cynthia says that, well, everyone's voice is beautiful, right? Everyone's voice is unique. It's also vulnerable. She says that God exposes who we truly are in singing more than anywhere else. And the tone of our singing is in the presence of God. So when we're chanting, there are four elements. There is breath, tone, intentionality, and community. Breath, every breath you take is the breath of God, as Cynthia quotes Theophan from Snow Mass. We have tone, we have vibration. In the Gospel of John, we hear that in the beginning was the Word, or we could say in the beginning was the vibration. Creation came into being out of sound vibration. And when you're singing, you have to make the tone with your center, your diaphragm. And remember, your own tone is always beautiful. It is a deep and personal aspect of who you are and your own uniqueness. Intentionality, what do the words mean? And chanting is energizing yourself, energizing the music. And community. Now with Zoom, our community is this web that we've created, that you have created. You have a vibrant community here. We can't listen to each other when we're chanting on Zoom as you can when you sing with other people in person. And we can't make those micro adjustments. But when you're chanting with other people, that is part of it too, in the community, making micro adjustments of your voice to match the others, listening to each other. But we are together. We are together in, even on Zoom, we're together. And I'll share this quote. This is from Hazrat Inayat Khan. It says, "Music is the best medium for awakening the soul. There is nothing better. Music is the shortest, the most direct way to God, but one must know what music is and how to use it. The whole of life in all its aspects is one single music, and the real spiritual attainment is to tune oneself to the harmony of this perfect music." So we are going to chant together. And again, after the chant, I'll invite you to just take a minute and notice during the chant, notice what happens in your being during the chanting, and also notice afterwards if you notice any difference, and just write that down, take some notes. So this is a chant that I wrote to one of Thomas Keating's last poems, his shortest poem. It's called What Matters? And the words are, "Only the divine matters. And because the divine matters, everything matters. Only the divine matters. And because the divine matters, everything matters." So I invite you to chant this along with me for a few minutes as you are able.
Only the divine matters, and because the divine matters, matters.
Invite you to rest in those vibrations and simply notice anything you might notice about yourself and take a few notes. So chanting, singing is also a very healing practice. And in 2017, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. I was feeling healthier than I'd felt in my life. It was a complete shock. And I ended up having 8 months of pretty intense treatment, including chemo, surgery, and radiation. And I am cancer-free. But I knew instinctively that chanting and singing had to be part of my healing. And so I chanted almost every day. It was the time that year when Darlene France, when she came out with, she's a wonderful writer of chants that are used in the wisdom community, and she came out with a lovely recording of a wisdom school singing all her chants. And so I would play that almost every morning. That was in March of 2017. Sometimes I would walk around while I was chanting that, and it was about the only exercise I got during that time. I chanted before every chemo, I chanted before every radiation, I listened to sacred music, particularly during the killer chemo that I had to take that was quite frightening to have to go through. And I am quite convinced that along with the prayers of many people and along with the skill of my surgeons and doctors and along with what my body was able to do, the music was a huge part of my healing. And I was blessed for a couple years to study with Therese Schroeder Schicker, who's this amazing contemplative musician. And she said that she was amazed that my voice had not been affected by radiation. She said, with the level of treatment that I had, that you would expect your voice to be damaged, and it was not. And so I'm really grateful for that. I want to share this quote from Marion Woodman in her book called Bone, which she wrote about her own experience with cancer and radiation. She says, "I know in my cells that prayer permeates a sick body, makes it shimmer as the new life comes in, making the cells remember how to respond to the harmonic whole. Music is like prayer, a mystical bridge between heaven and earth. I guess all art, all genuine religions are born of the subtle body that is the connector between divine and human. Music is like prayer, a mystical bridge between heaven and earth. I guess all art, all genuine religions are born of the subtle body that is the connector." That's Marion Woodman. So we're going to do another chant. This one is from a verse of Psalm 30. That I also wrote, not the psalm, but the music. The words are, "With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light." So I invite you to chant this with me as you are able.
With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. With you is the well of life, and in we see light. With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. With you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. With you is the well of life, and in
So I invite you to sense into your body and just notice what you notice. And just take a few notes that you might or might not wish to share later. But for your own self, anyway. And there's some requests for some resources, and I can put together some things afterwards and give them to Tim or Marianne or Judith. So the things that I'm able to share, I'd be glad to share afterwards. So I wasn't able to see all the presentations. I would love to do that. I've just been really busy, and I work on Thursdays for my parish, and so I wasn't able to be with you for all those. So I don't know if anybody's done this, but even if they have, I'm doing it maybe in a little bit different way. So Cynthia teaches, this is sort of going beyond this this book, but very much into the in wisdom and awakening the heart, that Gurdjieff talks about two ways, really, that we are called as humans to play our part in this cosmos. And he calls them creating sun and creating moon. Creating moon is more complicated. I'm not going to go into that today, but creating sun in myself is what I'm going to talk about in relation to sacred chanting. Because I've found that chanting can be a wonderful practice to do this. And Cynthia's most recent teaching, she's teaching a lot about the fruits of the Spirit, and you know, they're all mentioned by Paul in the gospel, I mean, in the epistles, and then you can add other things. So faith, hope, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, I think it's so that these are actually, Cynthia teaches, these are actual substances in the kingdom of God, or what she would call the imaginal realm. And part of our calling as humans is to bridge this gap between our world here, this solid world that we're in, and the kingdom of God, which is all around us, or the imaginal realm, if you want to call it that, which is always there, but it's at a higher frequency of energy and of being. So she talks about the importance of working to be able to wield these forces, the fruits of the Spirit, as a conscious force for good on this planet and in the cosmos. And when working with creating sun in myself, it's really to be embodying one of those fruits of the Spirit, or two. It's finding ways to bring them into yourself. It's important that we don't do this practice as a way of spiritual bypassing. So it's not just covering over negative things. It's not repressing or denying the negative things that are going on. Cynthia recommends, and in the book, in this chapter, in fact, recommends for all of us, a daily practice of Lectio on some sacred words, rather than starting your morning with the news. She calls that, starting your morning with the news, she calls that sucking up the French fries of despair. And it's actually harmful for your body. It's not that you don't need to know what's going on. We do. We need to know what's going on in the world, but we don't have to immerse ourselves in it all the time. So starting your day with Lectio, you know, could be an important spiritual practice, instead of getting stuck in this breaking news, which, at least for me, the breaking news can break me some days if I let it. So instead, we are called to hold our being, to be able to hold the sorrow of the world as well as the joy, and to continue to strengthen our nervous systems, our being, so that we can hold both all the sorrow that is around us and in us sometimes, and also all the joy and all the positive things. So I find with, I started in March of 2020 when the pandemic shut everything down. I started a weekly Zoom chanting offering, and my friend Elizabeth Combs joined me soon afterwards. And we've been doing it every week on Wednesday. Now it's at 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Every Wednesday, a half an hour of sacred chanting. And I have found through doing that over time that it is, for many people, it is a way to create sun in themselves. They will self-report that they came into the chanting session in a very scattered state of being, and that they leave with fruits of the spirit, peace, joy, calm. So I offer this to you as a practice for creating sun in yourself. And we're going to do one last chant together. And I think I'll put the words in the chat. Normally, if I can, where'd that go? Let's see. It's always better if you can chant something without having to look at something. So when you can learn it by heart, because once we use our eyes, Cynthia reminds us, then it's our head takes over. But sometimes there are too many words for you to be able to remember them. So this is a chant that I wrote, two chants that I wrote, that I have put them together. The first one is a, I can't type and talk at the same time. It is a line from a Rumi poem. And the second one is a part of Psalm 103. Oops, spelled that wrong. That is quoted in Cynthia's Mystical Hope book. So the words are, when we are with you, what fear of loss could we possibly have? That's Rumi. We swim in mercy as in an endless sea. Psalm 103. So I invite you to chant this with me for a few minutes. And just notice what happens in your heart, in your body, while you're chanting these beautiful words.
Are with you, what
was in an endless sea. We swim in mercy as in an endless sea. When we are with breathe in those vibrations. Just take a moment to notice your being, what you notice. Maybe take a few notes. I think we're at the time when you break into your small groups. And I will read the questions that I have for you, at least start with some of these. And again, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, share. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing something, don't share it. But you're invited to share your experience of the embodiment practice and or the chanting, and what you noticed in your being, either doing those practices or afterwards. Can you identify any of the fruits of the spirit that were engendered in you from these practices? And then what practice or practices from this chapter, and there are many that are listed in the chapter, are your go-to practices or practice? And what new practice might you try taking on going forward from here? So those are the questions, and I'll turn it over to Tim to get you in your groups.
Thank you, Susan.